Hi, everybody. I hope you've been able to make yourselves at home while you're with us, whether you're joining us every day online or whether you're joining us from somewhere else. You're so, so welcome. We're going to be taking a short break in our series through 1 Corinthians. And I'd love to take a moment to talk about what quite literally is at the heart of worship. Let's start by reading some of the Bible together, shall we? We're going to turn to Psalm 86 and read the whole chapter. So Psalm 86, let's start from verse 1. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. None, no deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realms of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me. O God, ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength on behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. A few months back, Psalm 86, verse 11, grabbed my attention. This phrase, give me an undivided heart, is profound and challenging. At least it has been for me. And I felt it'd be helpful for us to look at this together. Because ultimately, worship is all about our hearts. God loves our music. He loves our singing. He delights over us as we gather together to praise him, to pray, to break bread together. He has given us so many beautiful gifts to use and steward, and he has blessed his church with so many ways to express our worship to him. But in all of this, I believe God wants to remind us of the simple truth. It is your hearts that he really makes the priority. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Or the NIV translation says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your hearts, he says. Keep your hearts with all vigilance. We need to watch our hearts carefully because everything we do, our whole lives, flow out from it. So it's clear to see that God is after your heart. But that can sound a little bit cheesy, can't it? As if God is some sort of hopeless romantic. But the heart in the Bible means so much more than just a sort of a red shape on a Valentine's Day card. What does the Bible mean then when it talks about our hearts? Well, it certainly would have been understood as a physical blood pumping organ in our chests, but it was much more than that in a Hebrew understanding. And there are three main things I just want to touch on here. Firstly, is that the heart was the center of thoughts for humans. The heart is the center of human knowledge and understanding. Proverbs would say that wisdom dwells in our hearts. It's the place that discerning between truth and error takes place. It is where we make sense of the world around us. Secondly, it is the center of emotions. It is in our hearts that we find the center of all of our feelings and all the emotions that we face moment by moment. We feel fear, joy, grief, loss, awe, wonder, all of these things in our hearts. Being of good heart is an expression used to talk about people being emotionally healthy. And thirdly, it is the center of our choices. The center of all our affections and desires. The decisions we make flow out of our hearts. Nathan tells David, who goes on to be King David in 1 Chronicles 17 verse 2. He says, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." 2 Corinthians 9, 7 talks about giving and giving as an act of worship, but it talks about giving and says what you have decided in your heart to give. It is the place of decision-making and choices for human beings. So from your heart flows your whole life. It's why loving the Lord your God with all your heart is a central command in the Bible. It basically means loving God with everything you are. Your thoughts, your understanding, your emotions, your choices, your decisions, your whole life. American pastor and theologian A.W. Tozer, he wrote this. He says, "We must never rest until everything inside us worships God. We are called to honor and worship God with it all." As Psalm 86:12 says, we are to praise the Lord our God with all our hearts, to have an undivided heart. God calls us to make this a priority, to make our hearts before God the key thing we are diligent with. Before just singing songs, before we raise our hands, before we bring shouts of joy and we dance before the Lord, it's all about guarding our hearts with all diligence. This is pleasing to God. And there are a lot of things that we need to guard our hearts from. A lot of things that are vying for our heart's attention. You know, dead religious works, self-reliance, pride, hardness of heart towards God, cultural and worldly influences, negative criticism, patterns of sin, lies that the enemy would want to whisper into our ears. The call to being a wholehearted worshipper is a call, really, that fights against those things in order that our hearts might remain undivided, that the fear of the Lord would truly be our focus. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, amongst many other hymns, that was called "Jesus, My Strength, My Hope," in which he expresses a desire for a single steady aim. A single steady aim, like shooting an arrow from a bow towards a target. That's what it's really about, isn't it? A Bible commentator with, let's face it, one of the coolest names around, Tremper Longman III, says of Psalm 86, "The psalmist does not want to be distracted or double-minded in his allegiance to God, but rather asks for a heart that is undivided in its devotion to God. God, after all, has saved him from death," and the psalmist responds with praise. I just want to mention something about the grace of God. Because this is a glorious vision of what a life of worship should be and could be. But I find it really easy to think, oh man, that's not really me. I mean, sometimes it's me, but I feel like I fall short of this all the time. I wonder whether you feel the same. I'll speak into this a bit more in a moment, but I just feel like we can never talk about the grace of God enough. We saw in our Vision and Values series that we are a community of grace. It is one of our core values. We don't have to think too deeply, do we, before we become aware of areas of sin in our own lives. Things just like King David, who is credited with writing Psalm 86. And I think one of the most important lessons I've ever learned about worship was the priority of being a man after God's heart. You see, King David in 1 Samuel 13 verse 14 and also in Acts 13 verse 22 is noted as being a man after God's heart. But what? David made some huge mistakes. Sleeping with his loyal friend's wife, having that friend then murdered, covering it up, using and very much abusing his power. He got so much wrong. But he is also still known as a worshipper who was a man after God's heart. He repented. He turned away from his sin. He allowed his heart to be changed. He came back and fixed his gaze on the Lord again, who was his shepherd. He prayed, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead." See, we must remember that Psalm 86 is a prayer for an undivided heart. Give me an undivided heart. Teach me your ways, Lord. Yes, 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 we will fall short in practice. But we can, once again, time after time, come back before God's throne of grace and ask him to change us, to transform our hearts. We are under grace. If we weren't, God wouldn't even invite us to pray for things like this. Don't let the big vision of worship push you away. Let it draw you ever closer to the God who graciously shows you undeserved love, favor, access, and power to grow and get rid of the distractions in your life. Titus 2 verse 11 to 14, some verses which really changed my life as an 18-year-old man. It says this: "The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." God will help us by his grace to grow in this calling as wholehearted, undivided worshippers. Michael Wilcock, another Bible commentator, wrote, "This prayer to learn God's way and to walk in God's truth is about forming the right habits rather than making the right moves. It has to do with the development of a whole life mindset whose decisions will increasingly be in line with God's." I feel this is an invitation to all of us. Yes, we fall short, but God calls us to go on this journey with him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to increasingly be in line with God's heart. And this is good news. So how do we, though, guard our hearts? To finish, I feel it's just worth speaking about three ways we can do this. As Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard our hearts with all vigilance." Something about vigilance, I really suggest strongly that we are actually actively doing something and being careful and ordered and thought through about how we conduct our lives of worship. So how do we pursue an undivided heart before God? Three things that I hope will help you and help us to do this. Firstly is abiding in the grace of God, or abiding in the gospel of grace. As I mentioned, we face battles with sin, of pride and self-reliance, dead works, etc., all the time. It is by the grace of God that we are able to say no. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to the things of God again. When we get legalistic, it is abiding in the grace of God that pulls down legalism and reminds us that we are only saved by Jesus and no one and nothing else. Abiding or remaining, planting ourselves in the gospel of grace, guards our hearts and keeps our aims steady. 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2 says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." When we drop our guard and we sin, which the Apostle John seems to know that we will, praise God that our Saviour Jesus faithfully stands in the gap, defends us, is the one who forever states our innocent plea before God the Father. A Saviour who is gracious, abounding in grace over and over again, gifting us, blessing us, welcoming us again, pouring out his love into our hearts by the Spirit, not abandoning us and throwing us to the side. He is so gracious towards us. John 1 verse 16 to 17 tells us, "Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given." Or some translations say grace upon grace. It's like layered and deep grace. "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ Jesus." So through Moses, the law was given. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was good, but it could not save us. It showed us our utter sinfulness and stood as a strict head teacher over us. Under the law, we could never be clean. We could never have undivided hearts. But through Jesus, we are given new hearts. We receive grace, 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 and more grace. United with Christ, we have the law fulfilled, and we receive what we do not deserve. We need to keep our hearts deeply grounded in this truth. This truth. To guard your heart, abide in the gospel of grace. Sing songs about it. Read about it. Talk about it. Practice grace towards others. Thank God for it on a daily basis. Let the word of the gracious Christ dwell in your hearts richly. So secondly, in order to help us guard our hearts, we need to abide in church community. It's a simple but central truth of our salvation that we are not saved to be solo Christians. In fact, I don't think there really is such thing as a solo Christian. We were saved into a people, brought out of loneliness and being cut off, to being a new covenant community. Once we were not a people, but now we are a treasured people. God's new treasured possession, united, full of collective purpose, a new humanity, a new family, dependent on each other. Abiding in this community is what every Christian is called to. And it is abiding in this community that helps us keep an undivided heart. It's a biblical principle that walking in step with the wicked, or keeping bad company, leads our hearts to being deceived or pulled in different directions. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise." That sounds good. But then the kind of hand-in-hand warning is, "For a companion of fools, suffers harm. That's not to say that we don't spend time with people who aren't living for Jesus. Jesus himself had the reputation of being a friend of sinners. But we are called to surround ourselves with the community of God so that we've got people to help us guard our hearts as we are in this world, bearing God's image to the world, trying to be kingdom bringers to this world. So as we are surrounded on all sides by those who don't honour God in their hearts, actually we need family beside us to help. Other people will help you keep your focus, your aim fixed towards Jesus. Other people will help your feet from turning to evil things. It's remaining safely in the flock. It's harder to be picked off when you're in the flock, isn't it? I remember I led worship at a conference when I was about 19 years old. And a good friend of mine called Joe, an older guy who was at this conference, came up to me after I'd led some songs at one of the sessions and said, "Zach," handing me this book, "Zach, I think you really need to read this book." It's written by a guy called CJ Mahaney and it's called Humility. He didn't really have to say much else. I got what he meant and I knew that he loved me so much that actually he would point me to something that would help me to guard my heart against pride and self-reliance and arrogance. That book, probably other than the Bible itself, has been one of the most influential and helpful books that I've ever read in my life. And I needed that community with my friend Joe for that to happen. When you're finding things hard, run towards community rather than away from it. I know from my own experience, it's a lot harder to keep an undivided heart when I'm isolated or lonely. It's really tough. It's really tough. And some of you might be feeling that right now. Just feeling, oh, I feel like I'm on my own in this. I have no idea to keep my heart pure before the Lord. I have no idea how to grow in maturity. I have no idea how to say no to that thing which just keeps drawing me away. I'd say to you, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know you feel on your own. But there is Christian community out there around you, whether that's in person, which I so recommend you just go along and just be open with people and share your heart with people. Or it might be online, maybe joining us at Everyday Church online, maybe finding a life group online to be part of, maybe another church community to be part of. But don't try and walk through your life following Jesus on your own. It won't work ultimately. It won't work. I know that I have to be part of church community even when it's tough, because otherwise I will struggle. I will run out of energy to remain vigilant. I will give in to sin so much more easily. The third thing, which I'll close with, finally, is abiding with the shepherd. Abiding with the good shepherd. 1 Peter 2 verse 25 says, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls." Seek Jesus, who is the overseer of your soul, the shepherd, the elder, the pastor. Be with him, follow him. Never resist his perfect shepherding over your life. The words of Jesus are life and healing to us. Abide in his word. We all went astray from the shepherd. That leads to death. But abiding close to the shepherd leads to life, and life in all its fullness. He leads us beside still waters, and he satisfies our souls. When the world is trying to draw us away and cause our heart to be divided in its attention and its focus of our worship, Jesus leads us beside still waters and he satisfies our souls. Stick close to him. Draw life from him. Turn to him for everything that you need. He oversees, he guards, he protects our hearts from evil. He fights off wolves and disciplines us because he loves us. He cares so deeply for you that I can't really put it into words. Proverbs 4 says, "Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." This is really good advice for sheep, right? As they follow the shepherd through rough terrain, it's the moment that they lose sight of the shepherd that they get lost, that they stumble. As a little lamb swerves to the right or to the left, they lose their footing on a rock and they fall. So how do we guard our hearts from swaying off the path? We keep our gaze locked on the shepherd, Jesus Christ. So I hope that's been helpful. Your heart is really important to God, and it is at the center of worship. So let's guard that heart by abiding in the gospel of grace, abiding in church community, and abiding with, sticking close to the Good Shepherd, our Jesus, as we seek to be worshippers with undivided hearts. Why don't we just pray together? As I pray, please do join me in praying from where you are. Oh Jesus, we thank you that you are our Good Shepherd. And we thank you that you care about our hearts above everything else. You don't look, God, at the things that we look at when we look at a person. We look at the outside appearance, but God, you look at the heart. And that's what matters most. And we pray that we would be a people who truly would have undivided hearts, that our worship would be wholly and purely for you, Jesus, because you are worthy of it all. Help us do this, Lord. Help us to find moments where we just sit in your grace each day. Help us to draw near to church community. Help us have our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you for being with us and speaking with us. Amen.